for your word. Thank you that the gospel saves us, not what we do, not our traditions or our religious deeds, that we are saved by the blood of Jesus and only by the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we trust and through whom we are accepted and represented as the perfect man who's also God, standing before the throne in heaven and representing us. Thank you so much, Lord, for your gift. Lord, help us to be ever grateful. We pray that the Holy Spirit would not only run through us, but, Lord, that we would enjoy the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. And we thank you for our choir. We thank you for our military. We thank you for those that are in the military serving right now, Lord, and we pray for them that you would comfort them. And we thank you for this country, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless us. Bless our church. Help us to have freedom of speech and boldness as we proclaim Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We are living in a world today that's full of compromise, and it is rare to find those who have served God with their lives. So when you see a warrior who's been in the battle long, and we find that he's still standing strong, we should follow the faith of those who've been faithful to the Lord. We should follow the faith of those who've been faithful to his word. We should lift up their hands. We should follow their faith. It's not for fame or glory that so patiently they've run, but because they long to hear their Heavenly Father say, "Well done." A privilege we've been given to watch them bear his name. Will we who run behind them do the same?
Morning is in Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bible, you can open it to Matthew chapter 13. And it's really something that Jesus touches on twice in this two different facts here. But when we look at this chapter, you can just stay in this chapter the whole time. And that is that America is a beautiful place, like Israel was a beautiful place, and it's something to be enjoyed. Jesus here talks about all these different facets of the land that they enjoyed, and the people, and the diversity of the people in Matthew chapter 13. And the reason I talk about Matthew chapter 13 is because a lot of these truths I'm going to talk about today are intertwined in this chapter. This is what we call the kingdom parables, and it occurs at a pivotal point in his ministry where he is denoting through parabolic form, that is through just teaching using illustrations, the mystery of the kingdom. And the kingdom is undergoing, at this point, change, that is God's rule. God's rule is what we call the kingdom. And God's rule had been through Israel, but now God's rule is going to extend through the church, correct? And Jesus formed the church when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And when he sent his Spirit at Pentecost specifically, the church was formed. And in these kingdom parables, he's talking about a change in government where he says, for example, beginning in verse 36, he talks about the field being the world. Verse 38 of Matthew chapter 13, he says, let the wheat and the tares grow together. And so many times people take that story and they apply that story to the church, don't they? But it's not meant for the church, is it? It's meant for the world. Isn't that what it says? The field is what? The world. Does it say the field's the church? No, it says the field's the world, right? Jesus is not just talking about the church. Jesus is talking about the church existing in a governmental or a world setting. And he's saying that there's a change now to where in the Old Testament they weren't allowed to let the wheat, that is the unsaved people, flourish. I mean the tares, with the wheat, that is the saved people. They weren't allowed to allow those unsaved people in the Old Testament to flourish and to grow big. They were supposed to chop them down in the Old Testament, weren't they? In Israel. But now he's introducing the concept of a democracy and a representative government where we have freedom of religion. And he says in another place, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Remember that? This is completely new, a new idea of government that Jesus is talking about. But he says, render unto God the things that are God. So he's not saying the government should be completely secular. He's saying that those two entities cannot control each other. That's a new concept that Jesus Christ advocated and really didn't come to fruition and did not become widely practiced until America was formed and to correct the evils of European government, where the church and the state did not have distinction, and where the two tried to control each other, and therefore became corrupt. And so Jesus Christ introduces what we have now, a representative democracy, freedom of religion, enshrined in our Constitution. And these parables not only teach this, but they teach this in a beautiful way using the things that we love about creation, wheat and people, diverse people, and gifts and talents and food and leaven and unleavened and treasure in a field. And we see through these parables that Jesus loved to use the beauties of God's creation, and we should be thankful for our freedom and the blessings that we have in America. The blessings of the mountains and the valleys and the rivers and the streams and the meadows and the cornfields and the soybean fields and the wheat fields and the blessings of diversity in terms of people as well. America is the most diverse nation on the face of the earth, with all the different cultures represented and all the different ethnic foods that you enjoy. And sometimes people say, you know, I would never eat Middle Eastern food. Don't knock it till you try it, folks. Middle Eastern food's good. And I took my wife up to Chicago recently, and we had some French food up there. It's wonderful. Ratatouille. Whatever you like. And we have all these different diverse blessings in America that no other country has. And we have surpassed Russia now by producing the most oil. Amen? So we don't need to be dependent and reliant now upon Saudi Arabia and Iran and Iraq and all the garbage that and all the evils that our money produces sometimes through giving them money, right? Terrorism. We don't have to be dependent on them. Why? Because God has been good to America. And we need to say, Psalm 92 verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, isn't it? And so we want to sing this first song. If the kids come up, America the Beautiful.
Spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above thy fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Self, their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy good refine, till all success be noblest and every gain divine. A dream that sees behind thy ears, thine alabaster cities gleam. I dimmed my human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
The first face of freedom for which we're thankful, the first fact is that freedom is fun. It is to be enjoyed, and we live in a beautiful land. If you haven't seen some of the national parks, you need to go see some of them. And we thank the Lord for the 1860s when our national park system was founded. And then Theodore Roosevelt obviously added to that and expanded it. Also, the second thing we want to mention this morning that comes with freedom, and especially American freedom, is that our freedom ultimately, our physical freedom and spiritual freedom, ultimately comes through Jesus Christ. It is not only fun, but it is to be through Jesus Christ for everybody. And this parable here in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 44, talks about the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field. And we don't necessarily see Christ in America, but we see the field and we know that the gospel is hid to those that are lost. But when it is found, verse 44, he for joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And then he talks about a pearl of great price, and someone sold all that they had because of this field. We know that our freedom in America is precious, and Jesus Christ and the gospel is the most precious gift that God has ever given us. When we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, we're talking about something that comes through Jesus Christ. We're talking about forgiveness of sin that cannot be purchased with money. It cannot be found through having lots of business associates. I don't know if you know about Deion Sanders, the great baseball player who was also a football player, who drove his $300,000 car off a cliff because all of his money, all of his fame, all of his riches could not produce peace in his life. He tried to kill himself and he landed on the top of a bunch of trees, okay? And he said, God's obviously trying to speak to me because I can't even kill myself, right? Even though I can hit home runs and I can, playing for Atlanta football team, outrun everybody. Neon Deion, they called him. But then he got saved because a friend showed him Romans chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, which says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believes. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And he got saved. And he believed in his heart that Jesus Christ had died for him, was buried, and rose from the dead. And he never really understood what the Bible was all about. He thought it was about, you know, keeping rules and doing all these good works. But that's not what the Bible is ultimately about, is it? It's not. I mean, those things are in the Bible, but that's not what saves us, is it? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth and living a perfect life so that he could die on the cross to pay for our sins. And believing that his shed blood is sufficient, amen, to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future. I mean, he thought, Neon Deion, thought it was about all that he could do, because he could do a lot, but he was a sinner just like you and I. He couldn't save himself, could he? And when he came to Jesus Christ through a friend telling him to read the book of Romans, he found that treasure. That treasure is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that treasure of Jesus alone, plus nothing, right, gives us peace. Why? Because peace isn't found in us, is it? Peace isn't found in our good works. Peace isn't found in our church. Peace isn't found in a person that you fall in love with and you want to marry and you think they're going to make you happy. Oh, yeah, right. Have you ever been there and done that before? It's not found in a sinner, is it? Now, I love my wife, and she makes me happy. But she doesn't give me absolute peace. Only Jesus does. Right? But see, people are deceived by Satan and by the mass media, aren't they? And by Hollywood. And by our government sometimes. And when you find this treasure, you have true freedom, and you're no longer the slave of Satan. You're no longer the slave of sin, because God has set you free. And you're willing to do anything to have that precious peace that passes all understanding. And from that relationship through Jesus Christ, we pray for our nation. And God then, through faith in Jesus Christ, can exalt any nation. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, referring to any nation. And we know that because of the second clause. But sin is a reproach to any people. And Jesus sets us free from the dominion of Satan, that fallen angel that has control over our mind and over our motives and over our desires. And only Jesus can set us free from Satan's grip and his grasp on our soul to pursue pleasure and to pursue earthly things. And when Jesus sets us free, then we can promote true righteousness. And then can the Lord say to that nation who has lots of true Christian people in it, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he has chosen for his inheritance. And that's why in both our Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, the Lord is mentioned. You know, you'll hear people say, oh, the Lord's not in the Constitution. Well, then why did they say that they wrote it in the year of our Lord, 1787? Because it's 1787 years after Jesus Christ was born. That's why. It is in the Constitution. And it's also in the Declaration of Independence when it says that we were endowed our rights by our Creator, not by our government, but by our Creator. And that we were endowed these rights and we have the right to pursue life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. But that those rights are given by our Creator. And it says in the Declaration, read it carefully, that if any government tries to take away those God-given rights, we have the right to disillusion and to get rid of that government. Why? Because, folks, we are over the government. The government is not over us. And God is over us. And our government is for the people and is by the people. And it was the first of its kind. Because people understood what these parables taught through Jesus Christ. And we have in the First Amendment the right to exercise our religion according to the dictates of our conscience, for which we should be thankful. And so we sing this next song, God Bless America, because freedom ultimately only comes through Jesus Christ. May God help everybody to believe that, and Christ died for everybody, saved and unsaved, that they might understand the gospel.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us pledge allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam.
Because God saved us, we want everybody to experience the blessing of being saved and the true freedom that is for all. We also want them to have fun because freedom's to be enjoyed. But also we want them to understand that absolute freedom through Jesus Christ is not in America, but it is in the new heaven and the new earth. And Jesus talks about this next in Matthew chapter 13 when he says in verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Verse 49 says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus says, have you understood these things? Have you understood the fact that absolute freedom is not just on the inside, it's not just on the outside, but it's in a new heaven and it's a new earth, and it is, thank God, it is forever. George Washington said this, quote, what students would learn in American schools above all is the religion of Jesus Christ, end quote. And it is the duty of us as believers to teach that if you want to be free, absolutely free forever, it's only through the new kingdom, the new heaven, and the new earth that is to come. Because being saved in America doesn't satisfy us completely. If it did, we wouldn't want to die and go to heaven, would we? I'm thankful for my mom that taught me the legacy of loving God above all things. I'm thankful that my mom taught me that it's okay to be rejected by ungodly people for whatever reason. As long as we lay up treasure in heaven, one day it's going to be worth it all. And George Washington said that, quote, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Why? Because it was my mom that taught me John 14, where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, we have really four responsibilities in our lives. We have a responsibility first toward God, don't we? Then we have a responsibility toward our family. Then we have a responsibility toward our society, America. But the first responsibility is that we might be educated to love Jesus Christ first and His kingdom first. Our fourth responsibility is toward other nations. And thank God Trump put that four instead of number one, like it used to be. But you know what? America's never, ever going to be our final home, is it? Freedom, true freedom, is with Jesus in heaven forever. And when Saul brought up Samuel through the witch of Endor, because he got those things mixed up, and Saul tried to put his nation before God, Samuel said, why are you disturbing me? Leave me alone. Why? Because he was in heaven enjoying the pleasures of heaven. And so the freedom that we ultimately enjoy is going to come when Jesus Christ comes. And the Bible says in Revelation 19, he's called faithful and he's called true, and in righteousness he does judge and make war, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and his name that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped with blood, and on his name was written, called the Word of God, and the armies came with him, followed upon white horses, clothed in linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with that he should smite all nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath a vesture, and on his thigh a name that is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you.
eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed his faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. God is marching.
Hallelujah.
Of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Well, God is marching on.
Sing it with us.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Be seated. Thank you so much for joining us in that song. We have one more song for you, and at this time we're going to ask all the veterans to stand, and we're going to acknowledge them. If you were a veteran, could you please stand at this time? Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, and Coast Guard. If you were any, I don't think there's any Coast Guard. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much. And you may be seated. Thank you so much. The price of freedom. This is the last fact of freedom that we're going to talk about. We've talked about freedom is to be enjoyed, that freedom is fun, and we should enjoy our freedom, that it's for all. And we've talked about Jesus Christ and that freedom is forever. But last, our freedom is to be fought for. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if we don't fight for freedom, that people are going to try to take it away from us? Yeah, there's somebody that's now in Congress from Queens that kind of tries to take it away from us? Yeah. Yeah, she'd love to take away our freedom, wouldn't she? She'd love to make us a socialist nation and rob those who have worked for everything that they have all their life and give it to people that don't want to get off the rear end. She'd love to do that, wouldn't she? Oh, yeah. There's lots of people that want to take away our freedom and make America a socialist nation. And what they do is they take the Constitution and they twist it, and they say that equal rights means that everybody deserves the same thing. Is that true? Does equal rights mean that everybody deserves the same thing? Let's just give everybody the same thing, whether they work or not. Does that sound smart? But that's what they say, isn't it? Folks, equal rights in the Constitution is what really the Declaration of Independence talks about when it says that all men are created equal, right? And they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, so they all have an equal shot at the pursuit of happiness. But if they choose to be selfish, guess what? They don't get it, do they? That's right. So socialism says, let's just take the government, and let's take all the money in the government and say the government gives us our rights, and socialist nations give people what so many of the people want for a time until the money runs out, right? That's what socialist nations have done, and that's what they will continue to try to do because they reject truth and they reject history. And that's what's going on right now in Venezuela, isn't it? That's right. So we have to fight for our freedom. Now, Jesus said through the Apostle Paul that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we fight through free speech, but we oppose all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we have to remember that freedom is not free, but it's been fought for. And we can fight for our freedoms on foreign shores with M16s and with tanks. And we should, because, folks, if we don't, people are going to take it away. But we fight in America for freedom through free speech. And we tell people what God says and what human nature truly is, that people are born selfish without Jesus Christ. And we all must repent. Well, there was a guy that had that message, and his name was Jesus Christ, and they killed him for it. Right? And so Jesus told everybody, we all must repent. We're all sinners. We all have to repent. And they took him, and they nailed him to a tree, even though he was the best citizen, the most model citizen. I mean, you think about Jesus, as far as how much Jesus loved people and served people, right? The most model citizen in the history of the world was nailed to a cross because he told people that they needed to get right with God. And so Jesus fought for freedom while he was on earth through his speech. And that's what we are called to do as well. Jesus stood before Pilate and told him that his kingdom was not of this world. And Pilate took him and said, I don't find any fault with you. And yet, he gave him to the Romans to the Jews to be scourged and mocked and spat upon and nailed to a cross. And what's ironic is that Pilate had a sign put over Jesus' head that said, this is the King of the Jews. It's ironic because his main fault that they found with him was that he claimed to be a king. Indeed, he is a king, not just was a king. But he is a king. And when Nathanael met him in John chapter 1, Nathanael said, you are the king, not just of the Jews, but you're the king of the world, Jesus. You're the Messiah. You're the God who's become flesh. And Jesus taught us how to fight for our freedom peacefully. We didn't learn that through Martin Luther King Jr., folks. Okay? There's many things Martin Luther King Jr. did terribly. We learn to peacefully fight for the truth in a. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have our final song here, The Price of Freedom. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for the freedoms that you give us. Help us to be willing to fight peacefully for these things in America, and we thank you for those who are willing to fight for these things overseas by giving their life, their blood, that we could be free. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that these principles were not introduced to us by any man or any founding father, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and the kids are going to come and have one more song.
Fathers made the sacrifice, though the fight was long. They shed their blood, they paid the price, singing freedom song. Remember the price that was paid. Remember the sacrifice Americans have made. Be faithful to that vision, though others turn away. Never forget the price of freedom. Come, guardians of this sacred trust, keep our nation free. Your duty's clear, your cause is just, fight for liberty. Remember, remember the price that was paid. Remember the sacrifice Americans have made. Be faithful to that vision, though others turn away. Never forget the price of freedom. Never forget the price of freedom. Never forget the price of freedom.
Thank you so much for coming, and tonight we're going to have a special message on depression. If you feel like you've been depressed lately, then this is the message for you. So come back tonight and hear about how to handle depression, and I'm sure that you'll be blessed by that. All right, and we want to remember also as well those who are traveling. We've got a lot of people traveling today, that God would give them safety as they travel. And Kenny, do you mind closing us in prayer at this time? Yes.
And Lord, as we come together, this congregation together, be strong, and Lord, and receive this message which we receive today. Lord, just look after us, and Lord, keep us as we go out, and Lord, help us to bring our message to everyone out there, because Lord, we are all preachers in a way, Lord, to everyone.
Yes.
To bring to your service.
Amen.
In your holy name, amen.
Amen. God bless. You're dismissed.